Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome back to the Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast. It has been a fair few weeks since we joined you as a three, but we're absolutely delighted to be back. And rugby is coming back this weekend with Glasgow and Edinburgh shaping up to decide the most important trophy in rugby, the 1872 Cup. To talk to it today, as ever, I am joined by Alan and Matt. Alan, how are you?
Good, good. Excited. My life has felt mildly empty without kind of Edinburgh and Glasgow, and especially sort of really crap Turges 1872 Cup matches. So, no, massively excited for the weekend.
Yeah, all your Christmases have come at once. And Matt, how are you feeling about the weekend?
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. Alan, just before we got on, we were having a little bit of a preamble, and you said, this is all very nice, but I'd like to get to the pub. So I don't know how excited you are, actually.
I want to do the pod, but I'm also really excited about having a pint. You know, it's the pub is new, it's fresh, you know, it's exciting again. So yeah, I'm just all about efficiency of activity.
Yeah, I'm at my mum and dad's, and dad just before we started brought me through a little can of McEwen's Export. So we're off and running.
It's very on brand.
Oh yeah, never knowingly off brand. So today, obviously, we've got the 1872 Cup to preview. We're going to be getting into that. We're going to canter through some of the news that has been going through over the last few months. There's obviously been a little bit of news coming out of Glasgow today and some stuff questioning Dave Rennie's ability with man management. We're going to talk about that as well. And then I've got a little quiz. I was tired of losing quizzes in the previous series of the Thistle, so I've just been proactive. I spent my lunch break on Wikipedia, and I've got a little quiz for you guys. So that is the running order for today. So in order to not annoy Alan and keep us too long, why don't we start? Glenn Bryce has extended his contract at Glasgow for a year. There's obviously not been too much transfer news coming out of Scotstoun. Alan, what did you make of that signature?
Well, I guess there's been quite a lot of commentary about the victims of COVID, but it does feel like Glenn Bryce is potentially sort of someone who's kind of come out a little bit kind of positive, because there has been a lot of commentary, even from Danny Wilson, about them looking for a new fullback. And I think probably just with everything that's happened with COVID, both in terms of financial restrictions and, you know, just people not being able to sort of fly and move into new countries, they obviously just weren't able to do that. And I feel it sounds like that's, or it looks like that sort of opened the gate for Len Bryce to get this sort of one-year extension.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the only other back three player that they brought in was obviously Rufus McLean from the under-20s. So they are definitely going to need all the help they can get in the back three. I suppose, speaking of back three players, and this is more of a general topic rather than news. The last sort of month or 6 weeks, there's been an awful lot of talk about, I guess, player care, player welfare, particularly with related to Glasgow Warriors following the news of Matt Smith's retirement and the difficulty he's been having with his mental health. And then that sort of came back to the forefront with Rory Hughes giving an interview with Rugby Pass earlier this week, where he pretty much went both barrels on Leicester Tigers and Glasgow, the last two clubs that he's been at, but particularly Dave Rennie and his sort of man management style. Matt, I'll come to you first. I mean, how have you sort of viewed both of those stories? And do you think Glasgow and the SRU have got questions to answer on their management of players?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a difficult one. I think first and foremost, if Rory Hughes and Matt Smith, you know, felt that way, that they weren't sort of part of the Warriors squad, it's a real shame for them personally, and just for the fact that it's like young Scottish talent who seem to have fallen by the wayside. And obviously in Matt Smith's case, it led to kind of far more serious stuff. So, you know, maybe there are questions to be asked about Dave Rennie's ability to manage guys who are on the fringe. I think Alex Dunbar came out and said, sort of, I had a similar message that he never really felt like, he got the feedback, but was never really got a chance to show that he'd taken it on board. I think at the same time, you know, it shows the difficulties of just having two pro sides, and that you're always going to have like talented, exciting youngsters who just due to the numbers aren't going to play. So it's a difficult one, and you know, it does feel like with Matt Smith slightly, with, you know, at a time when he was really struggling and he felt like he didn't have the support in place, that he was slightly hung out to dry, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we're not close enough to the squad to know what was going on at all on a day-to-day basis, and I think Matt Smith's been really brave to talk about his experiences and putting them out there. And I think there is, of course, more that the SRU and the rugby community can, of course, be doing to manage players' mental health in those situations. But I suppose it's always going to be difficult if, from Dave Rennie's point of view or any coach's point of view, you know, if a player just isn't giving you what they want, what you want from them, it's kind of difficult just to give them game time, you know, because every match counts, every, high stakes in the Pro 14, Champions Cup, whatever. You know, these minutes are, you know, it's a professional environment, so it's a really difficult balance to hit. I kind of see it as quite difficult. And I suppose the SRU did shuffle the deck a little bit. They moved Matt Smith across to Edinburgh to try and get him, you know, a bit of freshness, a bit more game time, to put himself back in the shop window for Danny Wilson when he was coming back in. But obviously that didn't really work out either. And chuck COVID in there, limiting hours and games, it's just sort of all conflated into a really difficult moment.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think, you know, actually, how do we look back at some of the players have spoken about Rennie back when he was sort of the Chiefs coach. And again, you know, these are, you know, the sort of players who probably are starters, so you don't get any sort of feedback from the players who are on the fringes. But again, they were all very, very positive. And I know we've had a few conversations with people who have both been in the camp or used to be in the camp at Glasgow, who have given a positive view of Rennie both as a coach and as a man manager. So it feels like potentially the narrative's been a little bit one sided, and I think it'd be interesting to hear, you know, from potentially some of those sort of more positive voices. I think it just shows how important getting the Super Six kind of up to scratch is, because, as you said, ultimately, if there isn't space for people like Matt Smith in Glasgow, then there needs to be a good enough tier of rugby for him to go down and be able to prove himself. And I don't think that's something that has been there and still isn't there in terms of the quality of the Super Six last year.
Yeah, I think Rennie himself did talk about that as well. So he was saying that he really wanted like reserve team fixtures, so Glasgow A versus Edinburgh A. So, you know, I think, I don't know, I'd like to think that Rennie was very aware of that being an issue. But, you know, ultimately with squads that size and only a certain amount of places in the match day squad and, you know, Super Six being the next available alley, it's a difficult one to juggle.
Yeah. And I think on that point you made, Alan, a little bit earlier about the sort of, I guess, the positive voices about Dave Rennie's tenure. It is interesting that these things have flared up, you know, once he has left not only the job, but the country. You know, it feels that he is maybe an easy stick to beat with. And I guess a point on Rory Hughes, because I actually want to entirely separate his case from Matt Smith's if we can, because I think they should be treated differently. I don't think it would surprise that many people that he's potentially this quite outspoken and potentially disruptive character. It's not the first we've heard of it. And obviously there was that big story of him, you know, going on Instagram Live and sort of swearing and sounding off to people when he was drunk, when he was down at Leicester as well. I mean, he's kind of, whenever he's been given his opportunity, he's kind of never really raised to the level required. I think there was a Champions Cup game that he started and he really wasn't up to scratch. And then I think he's been a victim moreover of COVID, because he got a pretty decent loan move to Leicester Tigers. Now, granted, maybe it's not the Leicester Tigers of 10, 15 years ago, but still a huge club in England, and got a couple of games, and he would probably have got a run in if COVID hadn't happened. It feels to me that in his case, that interview with Rugby Pass was a sort of him trying to keep his name relevant, his name out there, that he's looking for a gig. And I don't know, is slagging off your last two employers and calling them awful publicly the best way to get a job? I don't know. But I guess we'll see where he lands.
I think if you completely separate kind of personalities and, you know, characteristics and perception or whatever that is, that, like, I do feel, without sounding horrible, that losing Matt Smith to the game is bigger than losing Rory Hughes. I just feel like Matt Smith is a better player. And whenever he played for Glasgow, he did a really good job. That probably sounds too hard. I would never want to lose someone to the game. But I think if you just approach it, you know, purely on the basis of like rugby ability and what they could offer to the team, then yeah, I agree. I don't know if Rory Hughes sort of ever really kind of marked himself out as like a long-term Glasgow starter. And I know that maybe sounds like pretty harsh, but it is like the realities of rugby these days.
No, I think it's correct. Interesting. I've completely forgotten about Alex Dunbar until we've sort of mentioned him, because he's another one that got released by Breve, I think, in May. And, you know, middle of COVID, hasn't probably been able to get a gig. And, you know, there's a guy who, what, 30?
He went to Newcastle.
Oh, there you go. I'm the asshole.
Well, yeah, I suppose I'd forgotten that Alex Dunbar is without a club. So we will keep an eye on that. Hopefully he does land on his feet, because he's somebody that we desperately don't want to lose the game. He's still got a lot to give. And speaking of giving to the game of rugby, there was plenty of Scots in action last weekend in the Gallagher Premiership south of the border, including the first Exeter outing for Johnny Gray. Matt, you were keeping an eye on all the lads and how they were getting on.
Yeah, with a particular eye on that Exeter-Leicester game. I thought that Johnny Gray acquitted himself really well. They were throwing a lot to him in the line-out. So he had a good game in that regard, and he seemed to be sort of like the centerpiece for their mauling game whenever they got close to the line. There was quite a good moment when Ellis Genge tried to like lift up his top and show off his kite. So it was like a bit of fisticuffs, which is, or just a little bit of pushing and shoving, which is quite funny. Hogg, I think most people would have seen his try that he scored, looked very good. And then Sam Skinner and Sam Hidalgo-Klein, when they came on, kind of just fitted into that system really well. And if you look at the Exeter scrum half roster after Nick White has left, like, there's not much between them and Sam Hidalgo-Klein. So, you know, if he can, like, establish himself there and get a good run of games, then, you know, he's in a pretty good place.
Yeah, he's been named on the bench again for this weekend against Sale.
Yeah.
I think it's the same starting 15. Hoggy's in there, Johnny's in there, Skinner and Hidalgo-Klein on the bench. But to have four Scots in and around the Exeter starting 23, you know, is working with Rob Baxter, you've got to say that's a net positive for all four of their careers.
Yeah, I think particularly Johnny Gray, who we've always sort of wanted to make that next step up. And I think that the Exeter is sort of the perfect place to do that.
Yeah,
absolutely,
100%. I think for what we've discussed many a time, that what he needs to add to his game to go from international class to basically kind of, you know, world 15 class really is just kind of that aggression and kind of close contact work that Exeter is so strong at. And it's just like, if even just like a little bit of it rubs off, it'll be so good.
Yeah, unbelievable. And I suppose Exeter looking like they'll go deep into the knockouts of the Premiership, so you might get some silverware to his name, which would be lovely.
And then we had Matt Scott and Jake Kerr on the other side, who watched a bit. Matt Scott didn't look like he got that much ball in hand. He was sort of doing a bit more of like trucking up, it seemed.
Well, Leicester didn't really have much of the ball. Like, they conceded like 25 penalties or something. So I think it was like he was on the back foot quite a lot of time. But he defended pretty well. Didn't make any like big mistakes. Yeah, Jake Kerr's hours were quite good when he came on. I think one of the most interesting little cameos was I put up a list of like Scottish qualified players, and I deliberately included Fraser Dingwall and Cam Redpath, who've obviously trained with England.
Yes.
And it really pissed off quite a few people. I was like, look, they're Scotch eligible. I'm going by the laws. Did you see Fraser Dingwall against Wasps?
No.
He was marking, he was up against Fekitoa, and he got absolutely murdered.
Oh, really?
four or five times. One of which Fekitoa has subsequently been banned for because he like smashed him around the chin. But yeah, probably wasn't the best outing for any like sort of exile scouts.
I suppose looking elsewhere, notable Edinburgh cast-offs, Callum Hunter-Hill in the row with Mauro Toji.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think whilst obviously Saracens are going to go, obviously 100% going to go down this season, like they've obviously put out a pretty full strength team for this for that Bristol game. And Callum Hunter-Hill was keeping, I'm not going to pronounce his name correctly, Kipoku on the bench.
Who, that was quite good.
Thanks very much. Who's, you know, is a very, very strong player. And, you know, hopefully, still quite a few games left. I think, you know, I think Cruz is now gone. I'm not sure where Skelton is, but you think with the volume of games and the fact they've still got Champions Cup, he's going to get quite a lot of game time this season in a pack, which is still like Vunipola, Jamie George, Vincent Kopp, Michael Toji, etc. So no, and you know, he doesn't look out of place. The other player that I think is worth noting for a slightly different reason is the Pudding. Coming off the bench with maybe the greatest lid rugby's ever seen.
Yeah, it's a phenomenal roof, and he's doing it to raise money for a charity that I cannot quite remember, but we've put it on our Twitter, and we'll put the donation link into the show notes of this pod as well. So if you fancy supporting our king and savior, Duncan Weir, and for a great cause, get in there. It's looking fantastic.
Charity that Alex Grove was swimming the channel for. I think it's like the Worcester Warriors official sort of charity partner.
Oh, great. Well, there you go. We can definitely lend them some money. Please do so. It's a great cause. I was just about to close the news section, but then I was flicking through our Twitter and John Barkley retired, which is worth a note, I would say. Certainly one of the sort of the most highly accomplished Scottish players of the last sort of decade. A little bit of an inauspicious end to his career. Had kind of fallen out of favour at Edinburgh. Didn't have the most fantastic World Cup. So he's not exactly going out on a high. But what did you guys make of, I guess, his announcement and his contribution to the Scottish rugby?
Well, it was quite interesting in that, so he wrote an article, I think he's writing a few articles to the Times now, and in the first one he wrote sort of announcing his retirement and looking back on his career. The thing that he really zeroed in on was his time at the Scarlets, and he talked about kind of how he just thought it was an amazing sort of culture and team environment, that kind of like band of brothers feel that he absolutely loved. And he didn't really talk about Glasgow or Scotland in the same manner, which I thought was quite interesting. And it does kind of feel like he thinks he has slightly been, throughout this whole COVID process period, rather, like kind of ignored and left out of the limelight slightly by the SRU. So I think he does leave with like a slight sort of bitter taste in the mouth.
It's sort of the dream move, which was obviously him sort of coming back as Scotland captain to Edinburgh and sort of seeing out his last few years with Cockerell, just that run of injuries. And then, to be fair, so the emergence of Richie especially, but also like Bradbury as these kind of just world-class players just sort of kind of ruin the tale a little bit. And I think, I don't know, I kind of see where Barkley's sort of coming from. But then at the same time, I think, it's, he probably doesn't get into that starting 23 for Edinburgh, even when fully fit.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can just look at it and just say it didn't work out. I mean, Edinburgh didn't get a lot of rugby out of him because he picked up a long-term injury at the beginning of his contract. And then when he came back, it was fairly curtailed. He was away at the World Cup. And then COVID hit, so there just wasn't an awful lot of opportunity. So you can kind of see that the SRU, who I imagine John Barkley didn't come cheap to bring him home, are looking at it and thinking that we just didn't get as much out of that investment as we might have done. And from his perspective, he's probably just frustrated he didn't get a lot of rugby out of it.
Yeah.
So it's a shame. But, the guy that has been an absolute stalwart and within that sort of His top games has absolutely been world class for Scotland. So all the best with the retirement, I say.
No, 100%. I mean, I think you really would put him up in sort of, top five players of the last decade for Scotland. He really is sort of like legend status.
I think where he's got an axe to grind is when Scott Johnson was in charge and he seemed to just be completely, when he was playing at Scarlets, just to be completely in the wilderness. And it seems as if he never really appreciated, he could never really understand the reasons. They were never really communicated to him. And the way that he was sort of discarded by the Scotland team at a time when it felt like he could have added a lot. Like I think when he talks about that, you kind of think, yeah, you've got a reason to feel aggrieved.
No, agreed, 100%.
Absolutely. Well, best of luck with the retirement, John. I don't think he's going to go quietly into the night, so I expect we will hear plenty more from him in his column in the Times and other places as we go on. Shall we crack on and have a look forward to the weekend? Rugby is back. 1872 Cup action on Saturday evening. Edinburgh versus Glasgow. How should we do this? I mean, should we have a look at the sort of the post-COVID, I guess, state of the squads? And then we can have a look at sort of, I guess, wider sort of motivations for the game, because clearly Edinburgh seemed to have much more on paper to play for than Glasgow. But Matt, if I come to you to start with, what What's your sort of take on Edinburgh and Glasgow at the moment and sort of first game back after COVID?
Yeah, well, it was interesting to watch a bit of the Premiership last weekend and just how kind of rusty everyone was. So add to the kind of usual pressures of the 1872, I don't know if it'll be like the best spectacle. But I don't know, like Kevin Miller posted some stuff about kind of the depth chart of Edinburgh and Glasgow. And I do just look at particularly that Edinburgh pack and think that they've got the upper hand, you know, particularly in the back row and to a lesser extent in the front row. I think obviously Edinburgh have had a really good season. They've already beaten Glasgow this season as well. Like they'll be going into the match with a lot of confidence. It does feel as if most people, just judging by our Twitter, are quite quickly writing off Glasgow. And it'll be really interesting to see the style of play that Danny Wilson brings. And you know, whether you do have someone like Hugh Jones at fullback, just how Glasgow attack, and whether they can kind of exploit some weaknesses in that Edinburgh side.
Yeah, I think exactly. I think whilst I think you're right, if you look at that pack, especially back row and front row, there really is a big gulf, I think, in quality between Glasgow and Edinburgh. But then I think if you look at sort of 9 to 14, kind of, or at least 9, 10 and centres, Glasgow to Edinburgh, there's still a pretty big gap, you think, especially in terms of like attacking prowess between Glasgow and Edinburgh. And I think, you know, especially with Hugh Jones potentially moving to 15, if you have kind of that centre combination of maybe Sam Johnson and Nick Grigg with Price and Hastings, scrum half and fly half, it feels like if that Glasgow pack can get a bit of parity, that is definitely sort of a back line that can do a lot of damage.
Yeah, I mean, I think talking parity up front, though, I mean, that Glasgow front five, you would think on paper, is going to be Kebble, Brown, Fagerson, Cummings and Richie Gray.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a quality front five against, what will it be, Showman, Rambo,
Nell.
Bergen? Nell, and then Gilchrist and somebody else. Toulis. So, I mean, that's two absolutely top quality front fives going at it. I think Edinburgh probably nudge it in the back row where, you know, with Richie and Bradbury, they really have the sort of the cream of the Scottish crop. But I think the front row and front five battle is going to be really, really interesting. And I'm really excited to see how Richie Gray sort of drops back into to Scottish rugby.
I do wonder, though, just to Matt's point about how scrappy those sort of Premiership games were. And to be fair, even sort of the Super Rugby games, you know, they were great rugby, but at the start, they were still relatively scrappy. I just wonder how important that kind of Edinburgh forward pack grit and potentially that advantage they have at the breakdown with just Richie, Watson, Matter, and then Bradbury potentially coming off the bench. Feels like because of the timing, that advantage might just be a little bit larger than normal.
I also feel that Edinburgh's advantage is the fact that, you know, they're still in the hunt. They've got a very good chance at bagging a home semi-final for the Pro.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
14. You know, with an opportunity to go on to the final, and who knows, you get one game in knockout rugby. Like that Edinburgh side can probably beat most teams in a one-off game. So that's where I think the biggest difference will be, in that Edinburgh is still playing this season, whereas Glasgow might be seeing these couple of games as, like, you know, a bit of a pre-season hit out before the new season kicks off.
I don't know. I just think because you've been out for so long, and because of the nature of sort of the Glasgow-Edinburgh rivalry and just how much it impacts your sort of Scottish selection, I don't think that the level of desire is going to be much different between the two, if I'm honest. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but I feel like Glasgow, whilst on, you know, in terms of the competition, don't have a lot to play for, it does feel like there is still a lot to get you motivated for it. Mainly also the fact that the main sourness I have is I, don't know why, in February, put £50 on Glasgow to win the Pro 14, which would have won me £1,000. And I'm now trying to work out whether I can get a refund from Betfair because the rules of engagement have changed.
But Glasgow still technically have a chance of winning it. So your bet.
I think Ulster need to basically lose both games and not get any losing bonus points, or at least one, I think, maybe. And Glasgow need to get a winning, like a bonus point in both games. I think that's the permutation.
I think you probably put that down based on Glasgow had quite a good run in, and they were hitting a sort of level of form that they usually do. I think they had, you know, back to back games against Ulster, and they had two games to play against the Dragons as well. Ulster being just above them, and Dragons being rock bottom of their pool. There was a really good opportunity for them to make a late push for the playoffs, and then obviously COVID scuppered it. So maybe in February your £50 was actually a smart bet.
It was.
Now it looks really stupid.
It was an incredibly smart bet. I even had ideas of potentially cashing out once they'd sort of made the semi-finals. But Tim from Betfair Customer Service isn't listening to this, all right? He ain't giving my money back.
Tim. Do you think, on the assumption that Edinburgh go on and get a semi-final, it's looking like the teams that are still in the mix, Edinburgh, Munster, Leinster, Ulster, are the sort of the top four or top two in each conference. Do you think Edinburgh have got a chance of going on and winning the whole thing?
I get the sense that they can beat everyone or anyone, maybe with the exception of Leinster. I think that where Edinburgh play quite well in that knockout rugby is the strength of their pack and the fact that they've got a pretty good kicking game. Like, I think that, you know, Pergus and Groom, both good box kickers. Jakob van der Vaart's got a decent enough boot on him as well. And hopefully kind of this is like the next step in the Edinburgh journey from, you know, in the past couple of seasons, getting into that knockout stage. I think the Champions Cup and the Pro 14 sort of quarterfinal and semifinals, and being very close to getting through in both those instances, and hopefully they can kind of use that experience to get themselves through. My only concern is that they, like, you know, meet a Leinster, and Leinster are just so good at winning those knockout games of rugby, and that's where the kind of journey comes to a halt. But no, I don't see why not. I think that they're confident. I think that Cockers is the kind of guy who just instills that kind of mindset, so I think they're pretty well placed.
I think definitely if they get Ulster in the semi-finals, which looks like the likely outcome, especially as long as they win the group, then I don't really have much. I'm relatively certain that I think Edinburgh, especially at home, will be able to sort of beat them. But yeah, it's just Leinster. Leinster just such that cut above sort of everyone else, I guess. And especially because they're going to probably be using this as a warm-up for the Champions Cup as well. So it potentially feels like that Leinster in a final is just one step too far for this Edinburgh team. And I think we've got to remember that, you know, last year they didn't even make the playoffs. So I think if they did get to a final, I think that that's still showing that really good progression. And I think they've then got, you know, a pretty great team to sort of push on for next year.
And obviously Edinburgh still in the Challenge Cup. They're due to be playing Bordeaux on the 19th of September. So they still do have a little bit of European interest. Whether that goes ahead in France, I've got absolutely no idea because they're currently on our quarantine watch list. But I mean, if Edinburgh get a Pro 14 semi and you know, and a Challenge Cup semi or anything beyond that, it's a pretty decent season for them and something to definitely build on, isn't it?
The best thing about that Bordeaux match is that Randranda isn't there anymore.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's at Bristol now. So, like, that was one of the few Challenge Cup games that I watched last year against Bordeaux. And Bordeaux have a good side, make no doubt about it. But he was the difference. Like, he just gave them so much confidence. It's just an absolute game breaker.
Looking at the draw, if Edinburgh do beat Bordeaux, they will likely meet Bristol Bears in the semi because Bristol have got the Dragons.
Oh, for goodness sake.
So,
don't worry. The Prince has got Radradra all day long.
All day long. Yeah, other teams remaining in that. The other quarterfinals are Toulon versus the Scarlets and Leicester Tigers against Cast. So you'd probably put Bristol as the favourites in that at the moment, looking at the nick of their squad.
Bordeaux have signed Ben Lamb.
Oh, God.
Like, he is equally terrifying.
Well, we will have to see how that goes. So 1872 Cup will be decided on Saturday, and then there is a return fixture. There's been a little bit of a switch. This one's in Edinburgh, and then the next one's in Glasgow, right?
Yeah. No, the first game is Glasgow's home game.
Yeah,
the second game is Edinburgh's home game.
I thought this one was in Edinburgh, or have they switched that?
Yeah, they're both in Edinburgh.
They're both in Edinburgh.
But
oh, right.
I think basically they think that it's, you know, they can play the game at Murrayfield because it's far easier to social distance compared to
Scotland. Yeah, of course.
And they've made Murrayfield this weekend, made this the match this weekend, Glasgow's home fixture.
I'm sure Glasgow will feel very good about it. Does that mean they get the dressing room without the pillar down the middle of it?
Good question. Don't know.
Do you think they'll put Edinburgh in the away dressing room?
Yes.
That would be quite funny.
That would be quite funny.
Do you think Cockers would let that happen?
Take out with Mark Dodson.
Cockers has got too much. Cockers got far more power than Danny Wilson at the moment.
Oh, yeah. God.
He's like Mark.
Yeah, Danny Wilson will take what he's given.
Exactly.
Well, it looks like, because Cockerell has sort of indicated he's going to be signing a 2-year extension as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
yeah. They're like, oh, you're in the away dressing room. He's like, oh, is that right? I'll just...
Just have the director of rugby at Gloucester on the phone again.
Yeah. because I thought they might get some fans in for that second game, but then the news has come out today that the Scottish government's looking at mid-September for getting fans in stadiums. Although I don't know if they want to try and have any sort of like test events before that. But that mid-September date was the date that's been flying around.
Mm. Yeah. Well, we'll see. It's a movable feast, COVID restrictions at the moment. So at least I think no high-profile Scottish rugby players have been caught out like high-profile Scottish football players have been. Like, so, you know, going out on the piss and things like that. So hopefully we will manage to get an event with fans sooner rather than later.
There's definitely a risk of, like, Adam Hastings going to Ibiza for the weekend.
Yeah, exactly.
Him and Blair Kinghorn post first match, then infect both squads.
But did you not see is it not Gary Lineker's? Wayne Lineker's got a club out there.
Yeah, called Lineker's.
Yeah, it's closed down.
What?
Yeah, it's closed down. It's gone out of business.
Was that after you did that? You got caught on video choosing a girlfriend by pushing like sort of models into a swimming pool.
Yes.
I know he's closed it because of his staff have tested positive, apparently.
For God's sake.
Old Wayne.
There's a great
photo. Guy.
There's loads of photos of him like slumped over the bar, and it's like Wayne Lineker slumped in misery after being forced to close down club.
There was a video doing the rounds as well of someone, you know, that game where you like crouch behind someone and then someone pushes you over.
Yes.
Someone like Wayne Lineker was like in his club walking around and some little bam leant down underneath him, pushed him into the pool.
I think we should move on from Wayne Lineker. I think we have strayed quite a long way from our mission statement of Scottish rugby by talking about clubs in Ibiza. You guys want to do the quiz?
Yeah, let's do it.
Do you want to do predictions for Saturday?
Yes, let's do that first. Since you asked, Alan, what is your prediction?
My prediction is an Edinburgh win, but no bonus point, and a losing bonus point for Glasgow. So
tight.
I think it's going to be tight. I think you're looking at like one or two tries max. So you're looking at something like 16-12 to Edinburgh.
Yeah, Matt?
Yeah, I think if it was like later on in the season, or you know, Glasgow with a few games under the belt, I think Glasgow still have the ability to shock a team like Edinburgh. But I think given the circumstances, I'd say Edinburgh by 10 or 12.
Yeah, I'm minded to be a bit more with Matt on that one, just because I think they have the impetus for this game. They want to top that pool. They want to get that home semi. So I just think they're going to care a bit more. And I think if it is a slightly cagier affair and it comes down to pack dominance and kicking, I think Edinburgh are probably in a better position to do it. Little brace from Doohan and Hugh Jones getting one from fullback for Glasgow as well.
Well, we didn't talk about Hugh Jones at fullback. I mean,
we actually didn't.
how do you think a Hugh Jones at fullback is handling a one-on-one with Doohan?
Like I used to handle any one-on-ones when I played fullback. Make it look like you've thrown everything at the tackle, even if you know there's absolutely no way you're getting them down.
You've got to dive.
Or you've got to dive. Like, when they're on the outside of you, you do the dive to go for the tap tackle, even though you know they're miles away from you.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I know, again, we all know that Hugh Jones is a great sort of broken field runner. But he really doesn't do that much kicking, even for a centre. So it'll be interesting to see when Blair Kinghorn's putting bombs up or putting in some long kicks, how he sort of manages that.
Because I could see him, you know, if he gets a bit of space in like broken field, I'm sure he would be effective. But fullbacks don't really get that many opportunities like that these days.
And yeah.
What more about your basics?
Yeah, exactly. And I wonder if you just put bomb up and you've just got Mata coming at you, going up with a leap. It's a pretty bleak place to be.
Pass.
Well, from a Scotland perspective, it feels a little bit actually like a poor direction. But for Glasgow, if it was to work, it'd be absolutely fantastic because it just means we can get more of kind of the great centres that Glasgow have into the starting 15.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, quiz time. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the name of a player. They're all well-known Scotland players. Are they all Scotland internationals? They're all Scotland internationals. And I'll tell you how many clubs, professional clubs, that they have played for. And then, so I would give you the name, and then you've got to say, okay, say it was somebody that had played for 8 clubs. You would then say, oh, I reckon I can name 3 of those. And then if Matt says 3, Alan, you can either say, I reckon I can do 4, or you can ask Matt to name the 3. If Matt names the 3, he wins the point. If he doesn't name the 3, if he gets it wrong, you win the point. And I've got 5 players, so best of 5.
Sounds good.
Is that all clear?
So what's the punishment for losing?
It will be broadcast on a podcast and people will ridicule you on social media.
Sounds good.
All right, so let's go. First player is Gordon Ross. He's played for 5 clubs. And in the imaginary coin toss I'm doing right now, Alan, you've won the coin toss. Congratulations. You get to place your bid first. Gordon Ross, 5 clubs.
I'll put 3.
Matt, can you go for?
What happens if I'm on three as well? Do I just have to make? Do I have to call?
Well, because Alan got to go first, you either have to call him on three or go for four.
I'm gonna go for four.
You're going for four?
Yeah.
Alan, have you got all five?
Absolutely not.
All right, Matt, name them one at a time, please.
Okay, I'm going to go for Harriet.
Okay, professional clubs only, Matt.
Okay, well, I think I've actually still got it anyway. Edinburgh.
Correct.
Leeds Tykes.
Correct.
Worcester.
Incorrect.
Oh.
He is coaching at Worcester currently, oh. But never played for them.
I've got another one.
Whoa, do I not get to jump in here?
Well, no, you've won the point, Alan. Yeah, you don't even need to name them.
London Welsh, so, the other one I was thinking of.
London Welsh is correct. The other two were Saracens and Cast.
All right.
So there you go. So 1-0 to Alan. Matt, we're coming to you first time. First,
Harriet should be there, but fine.
Harriet will be a professional club one day. Coming to you first, Matt, for your bid. They've played for six clubs. It's Ewan Murray.
Oh.
Let's have a go at that opening bid. What do you reckon?
Three.
Gone for three. Alan, have you got four of Ewan Murray's clubs?
I don't know if I have any. No, I'm thinking about it.
Any?
fucking hell. I feel like I should go for the four. Okay, I'll go for four.
Okay.
I really don't.
Matt, have you got five?
No.
Okay, Alan. We need four clubs that Ewan Murray's played for.
So, Northampton.
Correct.
Glasgow Warriors.
Correct.
Falcons.
Correct.
Oh. Breathe.
Oh, it's incorrect. You were so close.
I know there's a rogue Frenchie there.
There's two rogue French clubs in there. He played for Agen. And Poe, and also a 2-year stint at the Worcester Warriors.
Yeah, I was going to say Warriors.
Yeah.
Oh, it's one all, three names to come. Okay, so seven clubs for this player, scrum half, Grayson Hart. seven clubs.
Okay, I'll put four.
Chucking down four, nice. Oh. That's an interesting bid because Matt's now really got to work for it.
I'm calling Alan on four.
All right.
Edinburgh and Glasgow?
Correct.
Ealing?
Correct.
And London Scottish?
Correct.
Oh.
And then other ones...
Do you want to have a go? There's one more championship club.
Bedford.
Correct.
And did he play for the Waratahs?
He played two games for the Waratahs.
And Western Force?
No, he had eight appearances for the Auckland Blues.
Oh, all
right.
So that is Grayson Hart's seven clubs. So that's 2-1 to Alan. Matt, you're still in this. Your first bid on Scott Lawson. Five clubs that Scott Lawson's played for.
A bit of time to think about it.
No. Well, of course, we can go cut out.
And once again, bigger doesn't count, does it?
No, professional clubs only. It is actually quite hard to find Scottish rugby internationals that have played for more than like three clubs. Because there's loads that have only played for one or two. What do you think, Matt? Opening bid, Scott Lawson.
I got three.
Three?
I can do four.
Oh.
So, Matt, I don't know if you want to go.
Four would win the game.
So, Matt.
I've got Newcastle.
Oh, right. Sorry, Matt. Are you saying you can do five?
Oh, sorry, sorry. Well, if I've only got three, then no, I can't. No.
So we've got to hear Alan's four for the win, Alan.
We've got Newcastle, we've got Glasgow, we've got Gloucester, and then there's Sale.
That is correct.
I don't know what the fifth is, though.
Is it London Irish?
It is 18 caps for London Irish.
Well done.
So that's 3-1 to Alan.
Gloucester and Sale.
It's game over. Do you want the fifth, just for a bit of fun?
Obviously.
So six clubs, current coach of Scotland, Gregor Townsend.
So I think, could this not be seven? Are you including the...
Repeat stints count as one.
Australian club.
No, I'm not counting the Australian club.
I don't think they're pro, though, are they?
What? The...
Manly.
Yeah, it was like Manly.
Yeah, I don't think they're... think they're pro.
I'll put five.
Oh, I don't think I've got five. I'm going to call you on that, then.
Northampton Saints.
Correct.
Borders.
Correct.
Sharks.
Correct.
Breve.
Correct.
And Kestra.
Correct.
Oh, wow.
And the final one, you want to have a punt? His third French team he played for?
Yeah, I knew he's played for three. I don't know what the third one is, though.
Montpellier, 30 caps for Montpellier.
Really?
There you go. So 4-1 to Alan. It's a bit of a rout, actually, Matt.
Yeah, unfortunate. Well played.
Well, there you go. I'll try and find some more players that have played for more than Edinburgh and Glasgow for next week, because it's quite difficult.
I thought you were going to do Laidlaw, and then someone was going to try and guess his Japanese club.
Yeah. I mean, Laidlaw is one of those that has played, obviously, out of the country, but
I did have a look. It's Edinburgh, Gloucester, Clermont, and then like NTT Communications.
Exactly that. Well, great. Well, congratulations, Alan. I don't know if this is a new season of the pod, but maybe we should treat it as. We will be back next week to preview the second Edinburgh and Glasgow game, talk about the 1872 that was. We've also got a brand new product launching on Monday. So we're going to be doing a weekly newsletter, which is going to be sort of all of our usual nonsense straight to your inbox on a Monday morning. Everything that's been going on in Scottish rugby, all of the best articles that are out there collated into one place so you can enjoy them from us, curated by us. That's what we're calling it. So there is a link to that on our Twitter. We'll put it in the show notes for this as well. But if you search Substack Thistle Rugby Pod, it'll also come up. Get yourself onto that and we will be in your inbox every Monday. And we'll be back to chat to you next week and every week for the rest of the season. So looking forward to it, guys. Thanks very much. And we'll speak soon.
Cheers.
See ya.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.